Welcome, everyone. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay. My name is Kim Schiefelbein, and I am the parent program manager here at Bubbles Academy. So I want to welcome you here this evening. And on behalf of NPN and Bubbles Academy, we're really happy to introduce several schools to you this evening. So I'm going to turn it over to Jay Anna DeRay, and she is from NPN, and she's going to be moderating this evening's event. And at the end of the event, there will be about 20 to 30 minutes for you to ask any questions that you might have specifically of our speakers tonight. Thank you so much, and afterwards, please feel free to stop by and speak with Sitter City as well. That was such a faux pas, Jenny. Forgive me. Okay, scratch urbansitter.com. Okay, I am so sorry. Okay, so just erase that from your mind. All right, so enjoy this evening.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me without the mic? I'm Jay. I'm the school choice manager with NPN, so I handle all of our monthly school sessions. And really, the goal of this program with NPN is to help parents navigate the school system. So I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, so I've been in your shoes. Survive. They're both currently enrolled in different schools and seeming to be just fine. So the way the program works is I have some questions that were submitted beforehand, and then we'll go through those. And you also are free, if we're talking about something that you have a question on, feel free to go ahead and raise your hand and we'll call on you if it's a smaller group. And then, like Kim said, we have time at the end as well. So thank you guys so much for coming. And also, if you look at our blog section after the event, you'll see a recap from our panelists sort of highlighting some things talked about, and also there's an entire section called School Days, which has information not only on private school options, but a lot of the CPS options as well. So, and as we go through a talk, these panels do represent various private schools, but if you do have a question about CPS, I probably could answer that. That's one of my daughter's schools, so feel free to sort of throw that in as well. And I wanted to introduce Jenny from Urban Sitter to say a few words. Urban Sitter sponsors the program and makes this possible, along with Bubbles.
Bubbles and all of you guys for being here. I was thinking on the way over, I think we were all probably planning to be here, 2 months ago, a month ago, and it was blizzarding, so I'm happy that we saw some sunshine today. Hopefully we'll see more since it's almost May. Anyway, Urban Sitter, if you are not familiar with it, is a website to help parents find sitters through people they know and trust. We use Facebook as the back end, so it helps parents find sitters that they're connected to through their actual Facebook friends, as well as anyone that they know through shared affiliations that they select when you create your parent profile. So that is NPN, that's Bubbles, that's your kid's school. So just to take some of the anonymity out of that sitter search. All of our sitters also keep their calendars up to date on the site, which lets parents search by date and time, so you're never kind of scrambling at the last minute for, you know, who's available this Saturday night. You can do that search very easily and see the sitters who are actually looking for jobs at that time. I know you're not here to hear about Urban Sitter, but I do hope you will stop by the table at the end of this great session that I'm very interested in myself as the mother of a 2.5-year-old. But do stop by. We've got a raffle for $50 of credit to Urban Sitter. And Shelby and Bethany, who are two sitters on the site, are also here. And be happy to meet and greet any of you and enjoy the show. It's a stressful topic, but we're all going through it. You guys make it easier.
Me and my children are currently well cared for at home in my Urban
Sitter. Nice.
So I think we're going to go ahead and get started. I'll leave you to introduce yourself. So if you could tell us who you are, a little about your school, and we'll just go down the line.
Sure. I didn't know I was going to be sitting in the first spot here
today.
We're
very efficient.
I'm Carla Goldberg. Can you hear me? Great. I'm the preschool director at Akiba Schechter Jewish Day School, which is a preschool through eighth grade in Hyde Park. We are right off Lakeshore Drive and in the University of Chicago neighborhood. We are, as I said, preschool through eighth grade. We are a community program for preschool and kindergarten, and then a Jewish day school first through eighth grade. We have families from Hyde Park, large contingency from the South Loop and Lakeview and the downtown area as well, and we do offer bus service once children turn 3 or 4.
I'm Joanna Kovar, the director of the Nicholson School. We are a small private preschool play-based program in Bucktown. We are located on Cortland between Damon and Ashland. And we serve 2s, 3s, and 4s, so any of your preschool needs before that kindergarten year. And we have various programs, 2-day, 3-day, and 4-day programs, offered part-day programs.
Hi, I'm Philip Jackson. I'm the founder and executive director of the Chicago Grammar School, which is located in River North, 900 North Franklin, not very far from here. As I said before, we serve preschool beginning with a 3-year-old program, and we do go through 8th grade. It's a classical curriculum, which makes the school kind of unique within the city. And you know, looking forward to speaking to all of you tonight.
I'm sorry, what was the name?
Chicago Grammar School.
And we have material from all the schools as well, so you can pick that up at the end.
Hi, I'm Fiona Green. I'm the admissions director over at the Ancona School. We're located in Hyde Park, Kenwood to be specific, 48th and Dorchester, right off Lakeshore Drive, so we're neighbors with Akiba, and we get amazing students from Akiba. We begin in the pre-primary is what we call it, but it's preschool, 3 years old through the 8th grade. We have a Montessori preschool, and we are progressive from the 1st through the 8th grade, focusing on experiential learning, project-based learning. So I'm looking forward to sharing more about Ancona with you.
So to start off, I think what makes this panel really interesting, many of the panel you've done before, is just the diversity in the educational philosophy that that you have, because you all throw out these words that I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with. Can we start by talking a little bit about all these different types of philosophies that you said? So, Joanna, you said that you were play-based.
Yes.
So what exactly does that mean to a parent that's researching school?
Yeah, great question. So we really believe in the power of play, and we understand that children learn best when they're doing and playing. So what we do as teachers is set up our classrooms intentionally so that your children can learn through all of your different areas of development and learn through play. So they think they're just having a grand old time playing with the babies and doing puzzles and doing art projects, but there's a reason behind everything that we do each day. We believe in multiple intelligences, that everybody learns in multiple ways through their gross motor skills and their fine motor skills and through interpersonal skills and intrapersonal skills and pre-math skills and pre-science skills. And so we set up our classroom so that our children can explore throughout the day and throughout the classroom and really move forward and gain that knowledge through their play.
So within the play-based, there is structure, probably.
There is structure. Exactly. There's open play where everything is open and you can move around the room. Teachers are always there to help encourage and model different types of play and different interactions and encourage, let's maybe try something new over here, things like that. And then there's different aspects of the day. So that's kind of the first part. But then there's group time and there's designated gross motor time and story time and song time and things like that.
So Bill, you said that you follow the classical model.
Yeah, so in terms of a classical curriculum, there's a few things that few elements that are really kind of key to make it classical. Probably one of the most important is the integration of the subjects that you have together. And we both integrate our subjects horizontally. So in a particular grade, your history, your literature, your art, your music, your science will be all tied together. But we also integrate vertically. So for example, 1st grade, everything revolves around the ancient world. This topic, once again, is covered in 5th grade. So in 1st grade and 5th grade, you're doing ancient. 2nd and 6th, you're doing medieval. 3rd and 7th, you're doing early modern. 4th and 8th, you're doing modern. So the idea is you first go through the grammar stage, which is kindergarten through fourth, where you lay the foundation with a number of content areas as well as all the skill developments. 5 through 8 is then called the logic stage, where you're actually repeating the cycle, but once again at this higher level. And then if there were a classical high school in the city, it would be called the rhetoric stage, where once again you go through the entire cycle, but at the greatest level of synthesis. So that's part of the structure of a classical curriculum. You also need a classical language. So if someone's not offering, probably the most popular would be Latin, because you could actually still get Latin teachers, but we actually do, with seventh graders, we actually started ancient Greek this year with them. You need an ancient language as well as a modern language. So our modern language is Spanish, which begins in preschool, and it's conversational through fifth grade. Starting in sixth grade, it's far more formal. It's all Spanish grammar, reading, and writing, with the objective of testing out of at least freshman year Spanish when you're out. Our Latin program is actually taught with our English program. So Latin and English grammar are integrated together. We're actually using Latin grammar to teach and reinforce English grammar, which is working incredibly well. That begins in third grade, and we teach English in a very systematic way, and the use of, you know, ancient dead language that's very syntactic and very... You have to know your grammar. I mean, if you don't know what an indirect object is, you can't spell the word, you know? I mean, the endings change. So if you have that kind of understanding, you're able to apply it in your own communication in English. They're so grounded in this that the Spanish teachers, when they're actually working with Spanish grammar and reading and writing, are like, oh my God, these kids, they already, you know, I mean, they know how to conjugate. They know what first person is. They have all this background that actually learning then a second language has proved to be much easier for them. At least in the Romance languages. Another thing with classical program, it is very language-based. There is an awful lot of reading. There's an awful lot of writing. That's really kind of core to what you're doing. Another thing, it needs to be broad and deep, which means learning to draw is as important as learning to write. So the two most difficult things a human being can do that requires the greatest integration of all of your processing abilities is to write and to draw. Much harder than reading. Much, much harder than reading. So if you really want to try working at an integrated cognitive intellectual system, your kids should write and draw every single day. And they do. We have art every single day. And we have writing every single day. We have gym every day, so in terms of, you know, maintaining one's health, I mean, the idea is a very broad program covering a number of different disciplines. So in terms of classical curriculum, that's kind of, you know, I was going to say in a nutshell, what elements to look for when someone says that they're classical.
And then we have our Montessori, preschool, and then that transfers into a progressive.
Yeah, more progressive base. We sort of leave our Montessori roots after the kindergarten. So with Montessori, it's very similar to play-based, but it is an intentional environment. It's a prepared environment for the child. So although the child is talking about blocks and cylinders, the child is actually developing a lot of mathematical thinking skill, conceptual depth perception skills. So the Montessori classroom is divided into sections. True Montessori would have what we call a sensorial area. Sensorial is where we develop those scientific, mathematical thinking skills. Of course, for a three-year-old, they're going to be doing work much differently than a five-year-old would be doing work, but it's the building blocks. there's also an area of the classroom where the child is preparing their environment, sharing with others. It's a social part of the classroom. They are taking care of plants, they are taking care of each other, they are serving each other lunch, so we're building those social skills. There's a language area of the classroom, mathematical area of the classroom, and there's a reading room as well. In a Montessori environment, you're going to find a lot of nature, you're going to find a lot of opportunities for children to develop fine motor, using tweezers and things of that nature. Art is part of our program, it's very strong. Music, of course, for a 3-4-year-old, it would be, you know, listening to music, using your voice. Eventually, we bring in things like solfège, which is sign language, and we start to teach sign and musical notes through this, and then eventually they go on and study an instrument of their choice.
So is your Montessori classroom a mixed age classroom?
Oh yeah, these are mixed age classrooms, 3 to 5, exactly. And the Montessori program, so for 3 and 4 year olds at Ancona, it is a morning program. So it begins at 8:05 and it's done at 11:30. After 11:30, we offer for parents if they need the care, play-based care after that. That's all it is. It's aftercare and it's up until a certain point. 5:45 is the time slot. Now the kindergartners, however, after that 11:30 break and they have lunch and they have outdoor play, they come back and they're working with other kindergartners because at that point we are then readying them for the rigor and of course preparing them for the first grade, developing those reading and writing skills, mathematics skills. They are engaged in the world language program at that point, which is Spanish at the Ancona School. And it's not just Spanish in regards to the language and conjugating verbs. It's really about a cultural experience at Ancona. So it's understanding the culture, being able to sit down with someone from Spain and understand what they went through, what their country represents. And we have our world language program that takes a 4-year cycle. So we go from Spain to South America to Central America to Latinos in the United States of America. So the children have a very broad understanding and develop a really a sensibility in regards to multicultural competence. And by the 8th grade, they go to Mexico. They're immersed in the culture. Most of them know the language. So it's a very interesting program. But I went from Montessori all the way to the 8th grade. Progressive, it's standard progressive. A lot of experiential opportunities. If we want to learn about biodiversity, of course we're in the classrooms, but we take it out as well. We go and, we visit the woods. We go to the prairies often. The students take camping trips at Ancona. It's very important because we understand that, learning has to be met with multiple, avenues. So we know that, no child is the same, no child learns the same. So we try to create these opportunities, too, where children sort of see rock stars, like a child who in particular is not as vocal in the classroom, may be a rock star in the woods. So we try to allow these opportunities for the children to see the diversity as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so also we have, you said that you have a Jewish day school. Mm-hmm. So can you explain a little bit about what that means?
So as I had mentioned, we are a community program, preschool through kindergarten, and then starting in first grade, one parent needs to be Jewish to attend the first through eighth grade. And we are a very interesting Jewish day school. We have families from all walks of life at Akiba Schechter, and so it's a very diverse community in this Jewish day school. The preschool also learns about the Jewish holidays and the culture and the customs. We learn Hebrew as well, so we're integrating the language at a young age. And many of our families are from all over the world, then learning about Judaism and Israel and things like that. So that is part of the preschool as well, but you do not need to be Jewish for that. And so about half of my families are Jewish and half are not. We are also a play-based program. I feel like at Akiba Schechter, we really celebrate childhood, and really when you walk in the program, you can feel it, that children are kids here, that it's a very child-centered program, that we want to instill a love of learning and that they really want to be at school and feel really good about themselves. And I think that's all the way through eighth grade, a really important model for us. I think part of the Jewish day school also is focused on learning how to take care of the world, how to care about each other, and creating a sense of community. Community is so important in our school, and it means so many different things because we are all coming from different communities and different families, and so community is very important in our school from preschool all the way through eighth grade.
To the audience, let's just see a show of hands. Focus our questions. How many of you have children that are 3 and above? And so the rest I would assume are 2. You're looking to start like a preschool, so if you're looking for a preschool option. So I think we are seeing more and more parents are starting school research when they're early, so pregnant or when they're looking to buy a house or something like that. So where should a parent start? Because you all mentioned all these different sort of educational philosophies. How do you really know what the best choice is going to be for your family when you're talking about, 2-year-old or in some cases, a tablet?
I'm going to jump in here because, you know, so at Ancona, our philosophy is about the whole child and following the child. And that's just sort of who we are in general. I would just say to families, and this is just really, you know, being candid, it's totally up to the mom. It's totally up to you. Up to both parents, but...
No, up to the mom, yeah.
Right. But, you know your child. I would just say, you know, really just watch your child, see how your child interacts, and start when you think it's necessary to start. We, as far as, like, entrance and entry points, of course, there is a particular entry point. Like, for Ancona, we pretty much guarantee if you apply at 3, then you should be able to get a space. But I would just say 2 is great, you know, but like in the womb, take your time, have fun with the baby. But I think when the child turns 2, because you really start to see how they are socializing, how they are developing cognitively even, what things they, you know, what areas they thrive in, whether it's art, whether it's play, whether they need structure, that kind of thing. So, you know, follow the child. I always tell parents, follow the child.
Anything else?
Yeah, to tag on to that, definitely knowing your child is the most important thing. Then going into the space and really bringing your knowledge of your family and your child into the space that you're looking at as your school is so important. You will walk in and immediately have a gut feeling already. And I think you should always follow that. And then ask every question that you can think of. And no question is too great, because we're educators and we're here to support. At the Nicholson School, we want to support the whole family as well as the child. So you can ask those questions. You can get a feel for the program itself by seeing the interactions of the teachers with the children and the feeling that you get in that space, because you'll feel if this is a place that, oh, I think that my child will fit right in, or you may have a gut reaction of, you know, this might not work for me. The Nicholson School is all about creating the open door and creating this community feel and community for your child. And we know that you are their first primary experience in this world, and we want to be their secondary experience, and we need to work together as a team to do that. And you'll know when you walk into that space and when you speak with those teachers and those directors as to if that's the correct space for you.
You know, one thing I always tell parents is to take, frankly, a broader perspective, because, you know, so often the focus is, oh, it's the preschool. And, you know, everything everyone mentioned, that does have to happen. You do have to do that. But you have to realize you're only talking about, what, 2 years, maybe? What's really important, because, you know, preschool, so if you're going to a preschool that's attached to an elementary school, you're really prepping the child up for, oh, what's 7th and 8th grade going to be like? What are they going to look like when they graduate? So I ask parents to kind of step back and think about what they value in an education. You know, what are they looking for? Not for preschool, but overall. This kid, when he's off to high school, I would like him to have these kinds of experiences. You know, because then, believe it or not, you're going to start talking about college before you know it. You know, and once again, you're going to be going through the same process. What kinds of experiences do you want them to have? So that, because you all have in mind already probably what high school you're interested in. You might even know what college you want them to go off to. So really use that information, because it's in you, right? It's kicking around your head. So kind of think, what does that elementary experience need to look like? So people who are attracted to our program, because it's pretty unique, they're like, you know, I really love the fact that, you know, I was younger. I mean, we read classical literature, you know. I mean, I really love the fact that we actually did things like Tale of Two Cities when I was a kid, or the fact that, you know, they diagram sentences in grammar and they really have this hold of the English language. You know, people kind of look and say, wow, I had an experience like this, I want this for my kids, or I didn't have anything like this, and it was only when I was in college that I realized the value of a very well-rounded liberal arts education, and I want this for my kid. So that they begin thinking, it's like, because this is what you're actually, you know, buying into. You're buying into that whole elementary experience. So once you decide what you're looking for, I mean, some people, you know, they want something very academic. You know who you are, and it's great. You look then for a school that is going to provide that. Other people say, I've had people say, oh, I don't want my girl to be a rocket scientist. This might be too hard. Well, if you have that mindset, there's programs, right? That's, you know, maybe something not as rigorous, but different kinds of experiences in other areas. So you have to kind of go through your own list, your own like examination of conscience to try and figure out, oh, you know, what am I looking for my child? So once you have that, then you go and then you look at their preschool and everything that they say you have to do, right? Look, I mean, you know, do I get a good vibe when I walk in? What's the preschool teacher like? Because that's going to be your first entry. But I always tell people, think a little broader than just those first 2 years, because you're making a commitment. You know, because the schools, if they accept you, they want you to be part of the family too and part of the community rather than, oh, we're just checked in here for a year or two and then we're off. So, you know, everyone kind of likes that idea of community.
Can I?
I would also just say to go into your search with an open mind, that you may feel that you are really looking for one route. But go in with an open mind to visit lots of schools or go on lots of different websites from schools to really learn about them, because you may have in your mind what play-based is and then really it means more or it means something different than what you had in your mind. I find lots of families who come in and it was your first question, what is play-based, you know? So I think it's really important to kind of just approach this with an open mind and, like everyone said, to know your child. And you're looking, though, at a young age, so your child is still developing and growing, so you also have to know yourself, because it's really important that families are comfortable in the environment, that you feel safe and really trust and are proud of where your child goes to school.
So when it comes to applying to schools, I think that a piece of advice you hear all the time from younger people is just to cast your net wide. So how many schools do you think realistically a parent looking for entry into a preschool program should be applying to?
Well, I would maybe frame the question in a different way. More of how many schools should they be looking at? And then it may, when they're looking, that may narrow to two or three that they're applying to, and they actually went to look at four or five. You know, I will often hear parents say, oh, you're my second stop, or you were my first stop, or on the kind of preschool tour, and so that they are casting that wide net in the search, and then actually probably narrowing it down with their applications.
And then, do schools know, do they ask what other schools you're applying to, and will that hurt your chances? So if on an application you list that you're applying to four or five preschools or schools, is that something that admissions directors frown upon, or?
We actually ask at Ancona, but we don't frown upon the choices just because, you know, we want, like you said, we want you to cast that net wide. Largely the reason why I ask the question is because that can typically indicate what the parent brings to the table in regards to their educational philosophy and what their expectations are of our school, so that we can have these conversations. Because one of the things that we try to do at Ancona is we try to show you exactly who we are so that you know who we are not. And so this is a good match, not just for the child, but because this is a relationship we're going to have with you guys as a family, you know, for 8, 11 years, depending on what age your child is coming to see us at. So we definitely ask that question because we want to make sure that they know what they're getting into. That is very critical. And that absolutely does not have any, I mean, we have no issues if you're applying to our fierce competitor, and that does not impact our admissions decision at all.
Yeah, I have to admit, you know, I'll ask, oh, you know, what other schools are you looking at? And, you know, in terms of what Fiona says, there's certain schools that, okay, I expect them because there's a certain relationship with us and it makes sense. It's like, okay, I know they're looking for this kind of program. If you mention like these two other schools, then I know, frankly, you're serious about us. But if you mention certain schools, it's like, oh my God, their philosophy is so different. I know that, okay, either you don't really know what we're about, do you know what I mean? Or or, you know, I don't know. It's like, oh, there's something here. So if you're applying to certain schools that are so different than us, and I hear that that's, then I know, oh, we're, okay, they're really not considering us. We must be like the fourth backup plan, you know?
So you're basically just looking to make sure that the family knows that your school's a good fit as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for the majority of these schools, the entry point is 3 or 2?
Well, it's 3 for Ancona.
3 for Ancona.
Oh, 2 for us.
We actually have a parent taught program, and then entry point is at 2, and we do have families who join us then naturally at the age of 4 or kindergarten as well.
So if that's your entry point, you don't need to reapply again?
You do not.
Is that the same?
For 3, we have a 3-year-old program.
So then your chances of getting in past that entry grade significantly decrease, or is it very year to year?
Well, ours is actually a little different. You can join at any point.
So you have rolling admissions?
Sort of. We do start at 2, but a lot of times families start at 3, could start at 4 as well. Once you're into our school, then you get the highest priority. So you're basically in for the next year as well. So it's a little bit different.
And can you talk to us a little bit about what families do when they graduate from
Yes. They go lots of different places, and we are really lucky enough to have established different relationships with all of the different schools. So we have relationships. I have been to most programs out there, and most programs have been to us. I head to the programs to make sure that I can really represent the school to you, and then you can come and ask me questions. So not only myself, but also my teachers, we meet with parents on a regular basis. They can ask any questions. We fill out recommendations to all the different schools. We have a lot of private schools, of Parker Latin Lab, Catherine Cook, places like that, but we also have a lot of community schools. Public schools that children go to. So we really support you in any way that we can. We always invite other educators into our program as well. So they do know about our program, and we always encourage that back and forth so that we can really help everybody find their lifelong school and make that next process as smooth as possible, because we know that that can be more overwhelming than many other parental decisions out there. And we just want you to know that we're here for you. We're going to help make that a smooth process for you and get you to where you want to be.
Can you talk to us a little bit about what the admissions process is like? So I assume that you do a school tour or an open house, and then there's an application. And can you talk to us a little bit about an interview or a play date that might occur?
So throughout the process, we really try and get to know the family, the whole family, the parents and the child. So there is a tour or an open house that we would start with, and we try and make our tours pretty small. I mean, there are 2 to 3 families at one time, and the tour is with the admissions director and then also with myself. So you get an opportunity to meet my director of admissions and to have a one-on-one time to talk and ask questions to me as well. And we go through, and the tour really sees every classroom. We stop, we talk, we see what's happening in the classrooms, and then a family would apply. And then after the application, you would come and do a school visit. And we do our school visits where we don't do a play date. Instead, we invite your child into an existing classroom to come for an hour, so that you're going to stay in the classroom too, if that works for your child. And if it's better for you to be in the hallway or in the office, we can be flexible with that as well. But that also gives you the opportunity to see the classroom in action and to see your child in the classroom, so that you kind of get that window of what it would really look like. And then if your child is older, 4-year-olds, I also will visit the child at their current school as well. So we really get a good picture of, again, is it a good fit?
Is there a parents
interview?
So we don't do a formal interview, but because we have these small tours, there is definitely a time where we have a question and answer, and I'm asking questions and they're asking questions of me. And also on the phone, my director of admissions probably spends quite an amount of time getting to know a family even before they walk in the door.
And we are similar in our very small, intimate interactions. You can come to a parents' coffee that we host a couple times of the year in the evening and see our space then. But more likely, you'll come and do kind of a one-on-one chat with me. You get to come into our space. I get to learn all about your family and your child and what you're looking for. And you get to ask any questions you may have. You may talk to our teachers if you'd like. You may even chat with our little friends in the classroom. They're very welcoming. And we get to know one another. And then our admissions process is really just based not directly on, you know, we're more so what you're looking for and just different factors like age and sex and, you know, makeup of a classroom. We're not here to say, no, you may not come. We're here to say, oh, yeah, you would fit in this classroom and it sounds like you would fit in this class and things like that.
So for us, we have three information nights during the fall. If you're not able to make that, then we do one-on-one meetings. And people who come to the information nights, if they're really interested in the program, I usually have a one-on-one with them. And that's only with the parents, so that's where I kind of get a sense. We have a nice talk. And if you're interested then in the program, you put in an application. Once the application comes in, we do testing. So for three-year-olds, it's called the pediatric evaluation for three-year-olds. And it's a test to kind of see where the child's at with their processing abilities, where they're at with sequencing, visual motor, attention, verbal skills. And then for the four-year-olds, for the preschool, the exam they take is the pediatric evaluation for school readiness. And once again, it's looking for the same things. It's looking for processing abilities, so don't think they need to read when they come in. But, you know, it does help us kind of determine where they are at developmentally. So for the 3 and 4 year olds, then after the screening, there's also then a recommendation form you'd have to turn in from whatever program your child is in or has been in. And then after that, we can make the determination if it's a good fit. Now for kindergarten on up, so for kindergarten and first grade, we still do this testing for processing ability, but then there's also an academic piece to see exactly where they're at with reading and math. And once you're going like into first grade on up, then there's a placement test for English, reading, and math. For the older kids, besides the recommendation form, there's also a shadow day for them to spend at least a half day with us. And then after that process, if everything looks like, oh, it's a nice fit, then we'd be able to offer a contract.
Okay, for the Ancona School, we would more than likely meet at a school tour. We have school tours that begin in October for the following school year. They run up until the first Wednesday in December. They're typically every Wednesday morning, 8:45, adult school tour. And we take you through the entire building. So we really try to paint a picture of what it looks like for your rising three. And then what it's gonna look like, and you spoke to this earlier, for the seventh and eighth grader. So we start in the pre-primary classrooms where you're observing, and we walk through all of the three Montessori classrooms. From there, we go throughout the entire school. You see a first and second grade classroom because they're all multi-age classrooms, all the way up to the seventh and eighth grade and the co-curriculars as well. So we started a tour. From that point, you decide you're going to apply. Once you apply at Ancona, we do what we call a student visit and a parent interview at the same time. So you would bring your child in for an 8:45 a.m. appointment or whatever time we decide. Your child would then go to, so your child is met by a child ambassador and the teacher. Child ambassador, hi, I'm Monica. Can you come to our classroom? Would you like to feed the turtle? That's kind of what happens with your little one. And while your child goes to the classroom, we hope, you come in with me and we have, you know, we just kind of talk about your expectations. You tell me about your child, how amazing they are. And in some cases, you know, because sometimes they are babies, they're like, they just need two, they're 2.3 or something. In some cases, a child just won't go. We are, you know, we're very familiar with that. We just reschedule, or sometimes a teacher will even like stay in the hallway with the child and work with the child on blocks and ask questions and things like that. No assessments at Ancona for pre-primaries. Ancona is one of these schools, like you really have to want this philosophy. We are a no testing school. That's just who we are. Doesn't mean that we're not assessing. Assessment at Ancona is different. It's ongoing. But for a three-year-old and a four-year-old, we're just looking at children who are motivated. You know, Montessori and progressive education, especially in an open classroom environment, calls for children who are independent, children who can self-regulate, children who have at the materials, and who can really, you know, navigate that classroom and really have at it. So we're just looking at sociability for a three-year-old, four-year-old. We're looking at them, you know, answering a few questions about the ABCs, that kind of thing, because that's where we come in. And then, so after this interview, which takes 30 minutes for the child, and for us, however long, you know, you decide, because the teacher and the child ambassador will then bring the child back to the admissions office where we're having a discussion, and usually that's when we close. From that experience, it goes to admissions review, which is myself, the admissions director, sometimes our director of student support, who's a PhD in twice exceptional learning. And perhaps even the teachers, if they have, you know, something other than admit this child. And then we just sort of all talk, oh my gosh, he was fantastic in the classroom. And, you know, our intent is to admit. Our intent is to make this work. And you know, we think that our classrooms are stimulating for a lot of children, a lot of children who meet learning, you know, in diverse settings. So that's typically what the admissions process looks like. You would come for an interview. You find out, especially if you're in the admission season, you find out about a month later for the P3s. Now, if you're applying for P4, kindergarten, the higher grades, it's going to take a little bit of time because obviously we have to wait on parent contracts to come back, and the visitation is different. So a kindergartner is going to have to spend a half day in the classroom. A first through eighth grader would spend an entire day at our school, and they're meeting with different teachers, and of course we're making sure that there are benchmarks to make sure that they're ready for that.
So typically
program.
Then you apply in the fall, so if you're,
yes.
you apply the year before you're
yes.
trying to gain admittance. Mm-hmm. And then letters, acceptances usually go out the March
spring.
Before the September.
Yeah, spring.
Mm-hmm. So, and so could you give us an idea of what your acceptance rate is in terms of the number of applications you have and the number of spots you usually answer? Just an estimate so parents kind of have an idea.
Boy, it really varies year to year, although we are typically full by the time our admissions process is over. So by the time the letters are going out in the spring, by April 1st, we are typically full with a wait list for each class. Then sometimes we will go through that wait list where families who are applying to many different programs then tell us actually we're going to be going somewhere else, or we're not moving to Chicago, which we'll hear, or we're moving out of Chicago, and so then we'll be able to go through that wait list.
Is your wait list like a number of lists that you would get, you know, a spot, like you're second on the wait list?
You know, I don't give out numbers, but it specifically because a lot will depend upon, well, I need a girl to fill out this classroom, or you know, this is a too many summer birthdays, so we need to find someone for the slot who's a little bit older. So it's not typically numbered where you know I'm number one, number two. But we try and be pretty transparent with families. Like, you know what, the wait list is really long, you really should look elsewhere, or it's really just a few people. You know, we'll keep in very close contact with you. Hold on, don't go anywhere else yet. You know, let us know what's happening. So that, because, you know, today we had some movement and things happening.
I'm sure parents appreciate
that. I would say exactly the same thing. And we're a newer school, so we're growing. So each year we have significantly more of all of that process. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say we're really almost exactly the same. And I am very honest with parents and say, you know, as of today, we are here. It's very possible that tomorrow we will be here. And, you know, if you're really interested, and, you know, let's see what we can do. And I keep you in the loop for sure.
Yeah, for us, it's all tied to the economy. really what it comes down to. So, you know, before the 2008 crash, you know, we had a wait list for preschool, and then came the 2008 crash, and we didn't have a wait list, and a number of people moved and were transferred or had to go to public school or whatever, and now things are going back to the way they were pre-2008. So it's really hard to predict, you know, what it's going to look like next year. You know, certain things, like with the testing that we do, it's been the past couple of years about 30% have not been accepted due to either like processing difficulties or cognitive difficulties. So that's, you know, that's one of the first things that can, you know, keep you from the program.
Can you share that information with parents? Like, do they know why?
I'm very careful. I mean, even though, you know, we're working, I'll tell you, 70% of our kids, by the time we're doing our testing in third grade, qualify as either gifted or academically talented. That's a pretty high percentage for the overall school. But you don't know this when you're dealing with a three-year-old, right? They're all bright. So before dealing with this population, I used to be executive director of a school for learning disabilities. I mean, you needed a diagnosis to go to the school. I've been doing that for almost 20 years. So I'm pretty good, even without doing a lot of testing, to kind of pick up, oh, if there's a language issue, maybe a little OT. I mean, there's a lot of things just because I've worked with the population for so much of my adult life that you can pick up. And with the testing, things will come up that, listen, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, you've got a sensory integration problem, but I have a hint that maybe you do. And I will suggest, it's like, you know, maybe you should, you know, check out, you know, the speech. You know, I'm noticing a little something. Maybe you'll go, you know, get it tested, see what it is. So I'm not going to tell anyone they've got a diagnosis because I don't know. I mean, the kind of testing we do gives me a hint of where there could be difficulties. And usually following up with people, I found out that I've usually been right, you know. But as I said, I think that's only because of all the past experience I've had with that. So, yeah, I will share that with people. Sometimes they're not happy, but...
You know.
Yeah, so if I had to put a number on it, I'm thinking about my numbers. We're a very small school, 260 students. But in the pre-primary is a pretty large number too. But as far as like who doesn't get in, I mean, I would say about 90% of the children who apply get into Ancona. If they're not getting into Ancona, typically it's probably because they are in the elementary school and they may not be ready. For, you know, just the academic challenge and the social challenge that Ancona presents. And then also, in some cases, they do come. You know, parents are very honest, and we actually ask those questions, like, are there things that we need to know, especially if we see something in the classroom? Are there reports that you can give us? Because we want to make it work. Our educational psychologist, you know, she looks at the neuropsych. She looks at, you know, whatever the reports say, and we try to figure out, can we support it? So in the event we just can't support it because we're so small and we only have like three people on staff in regards to student support, we have a learning resource specialist, we have a reading specialist, and we have a middle school learning specialist. So we don't have, you know, a lot of options. And we have a landscape of learning where there are students that are already in the school who need support. Ancona has been known to have children in our school because we value diversity. We think it brings a lot to the table, not just for the child who has needs, but for the other children as well. You know, we've had children in our program who are on the spectrum. Now, of course, at a certain point, we can't serve them. And that's a conversation that we have honest conversations with our parents. You know, we're very clear about, okay, why is the child here? Okay, you want to, you know, we can do this. We can work with you with your child. But at a certain point, you know, it's not going to benefit the child. It's not going to benefit the family.
So what I hear is if you do end up not